Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking about, several things, but one of the things that's very important right now that we're facing is the persecution that's happening, of course, Jews and Christians. I mean, this is something we have talked about extensively. These are things that have happened since the time of Nero and, you know, in the book of Acts, we've seen this, okay? However, in recent times and in recent days, we're seeing an increase of this persecution. And listen, Matthew 24, it's a sign of the times. It's a sign of the times. There's going to be a great falling away. And we want to shed some light on some things that are happening with Christians in Iraq that are being persecuted, Christians in Sudan, which, according to Open Doors Ministry, is a ministry that basically is geared around, you know, one of their main objectives is to protect and to shed light on the persecuted church. And, Sudan is one of the countries that's really high. I think it's the number two country. Number one is North Korea. Number two is Sudan. And that's where, if you remember, Miriam Ibrahim is from. She was from Sudan. And she was the woman who was arrested and was chained and gave birth to a child in prison. She has since been released. Praise God. I thank him for all of our prayers and everyone that's joined together. She was in Italy, and now she is back in the U.S. And I saw an article that came across that said the U.S. was nowhere to be seen in this whole process of getting her out. I mean, they had no Italy. It's like, what is she doing in Italy?
Right.
We should have had a plane, because her husband is an American citizen. She should have been immediately here. And we still have Sergeant Andrew
Tamarisi.
I don't know what day this is, but it's over 100 days that he is still in prison in a Mexican prison, and he's a Marine.
Just for getting lost.
Yeah, got lost.
Right next door. Right next door to America. He's still there.
Still there. And you think about it. I mean, if we don't have, you know, the juice, if you will, if we don't have the power, the influence to pick up the phone and call Mexico, I mean, I think we got a problem. You know,
yeah,
we can't pick up the phone and say Mexico and say hand them over now.
Now
we have a serious problem. What kind of influence? Which is really embarrassing at this point. Like, what? John Kerry was not invited, according to Times of Israel, was not invited to go broker anything in Israel. If we can't even get a Marine, a Marine who got lost in Mexico, we can't get a Marine out in prison. What are we doing anywhere else trying to, come on, we got to get things back to basics and things back on the right track. But we're going to be talking about the persecuted church, persecuted Jews. We're going to be sharing about how we're coming to the end of Ramadan. It's a holy month, if you will, for Muslims around the world where they take some time to fast. However, something interesting happens, and it's been happening during this time period. Many, many Muslims are finding Jesus Christ during this period.
Wow.
It's wonderful, and it's exciting. And we want to see many Muslims come to the Lord. Listen, there's 1.2 billion Muslims in the world today, and why not them all find Jesus? You know, you can have a perspective and think that they're all jihadists, and they're not. According to Bridget Gabriel, 15 to 20% of Muslims are radicalized. That's 300 million, the size of America, the population of America. But that means that there's 800 million Muslims that don't know anything about Jesus and are probably could be open to knowing about him. If they're willing to do all of that for so-called, you know, their Allah, imagine what they would do when they encounter love himself. And we have a special testimony from Kamal, and you can hear how a terrorist, trained up as a boy from his mother, sitting on his mother's lap, came to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You really don't want to miss it. It's going to be very, very exciting. We are going to talk about that. We're also going to be talking about, the importance of understanding what it means to be a Christian in theory or a Christian in reality. There is a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
Christian in theory and Christian in reality. And I think a lot of folks are, that we're seeing today in culture, a virtual Christian, if you will. But Jesus didn't die for us to be virtual Christians. He died for us to be one in reality. And Christian means Christ-like, to be walking united with him. So we're going to kind of unpack that and talk about that some more. Really interesting things. And we're also going to talk about the power of technology to submit to you and you not to technology, and how if we really understand what God's called us to do, we can use it to do some incredibly awesome things, to share the gospel and bring people to the Lord. But we want to talk about persecution. And right now, in terms of what's happening to the Jews, when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about how they're leaving France now by the droves. Wow. They're leaving France by the, you don't want to miss it, because you're seeing an exodus in many countries where Jews now are being persecuted on a daily basis. They're fearful for their lives, and we're going to see what's happening with them and what's happening to Christians as well. I wanted to talk about the persecution that's happening with Jews and with Christians. JJ, we're going to make sure that that's related for you, but we talked extensively in a previous segment about how JJ, the Jews and Jesus, Jews and Christians, are facing persecution in an increasing measure. And as a believer, as a Christian, it's important.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that we stand with our Jewish brothers and sisters. I mean, if we want somebody to stand with us, you know, we better stand with them now so that someone can stand with us later. And that we're seeing firsthand, right in front of us, what it looks like. And we've been pretty blessed in the West that we haven't had to suffer to the extent that many believers and Jews have suffered in the East and around the world. But we want you to see this segment from CBN as they shared how there's a exodus from France, and the Jews are leaving France in droves going back home to Israel. Watch this.
In the suburbs of Paris, a Jewish family gathers to read the Torah. Soon, they will be gone. They're part of a growing number of French Jews who are leaving France because the future simply looks too dangerous. Before World War II, European Jews waited too long to leave, and then they were trapped. French Jews don't want to make the same mistake again. In January, demonstrators in Paris shouted, "We don't want Jews," and gave the Nazi salute. It was a chilling reminder of France's World War II past, when Jews were deported to concentration camps. This family agreed to be interviewed only if their identities were hidden, because they fear a backlash from French society. In a few months, they'll leave for Israel. They told us they wanted to go when they could leave on their terms, instead of someday having to flee for their lives.
We're not really afraid, but seeing the murders last year in Toulouse and what happened at the Jewish Museum in Brussels, we're afraid for our children and what could happen to them, and think about it every day.
The mother in this Jewish family has already been called a dirty Jew by the neighbors. She's instructed her daughter how to slip her Star of David inside her blouse when she goes outside, and has told her sons to be careful about when they wear their kippas.
They have worn the kippa since they were very young, but over the past few years, I have told them maybe it's better not to wear it sometimes.
There is a strong feeling inside the French Jewish community that it's time to leave.
Philippe Carcetti is deputy mayor in the city of Neuilly and a Jew.
You can't have a dinner, a conversation with a Jew, without having this topic mentioned. Shall we stay or shall we leave?
There are only about 400,000 Jews in France, and they're outnumbered by Arabs and Muslims by perhaps 15 to 1 or more. And that gap is growing every day. There have been close to 8,000 anti-Semitic incidents in France since 2000. And every time Israel acts in self-defense against the Palestinians, the danger increases. France's Arab and Muslim citizens have staged large and more violent demonstrations, including one in which 200 Jews were trapped inside a synagogue. At a synagogue near Paris, Rabbi Michael Azoulay says the number of Jews coming to him for a certificate of Jewishness in order to go to Israel has gone way up in the past year.
It started around last July. We have had many requests from families, not just from our community, but from other communities in Paris, people who came to us and requested certificates for the Jewish agency in the hope of possibly going to Israel.
It's estimated that as many as 5,000 Jews could leave France this year. The exodus of the Jews is a disaster for the French government, which keeps condemning the anti-Semitic attacks, but cannot stop them.
Let me just emphasize, we do not live in an anti-Semitic country.
Dr. Richard Praskir is past president of CRIF, France's National Association of Jews.
I do not accept the fact that France is an anti-Semitic country. France is not an anti-Semitic country. This government, the previous government, have absolutely no anti-Semitic ideas.
The French government is doing what it can, but it's difficult to do more because the problem is so overwhelming. The government cannot prevent every attack.
Jews do blame the French media for the rise in anti-Semitism because of the way it attacks Israel on a daily basis.
The media have been inciting against Israel and the Jews for more than a decade.
We are fed up with the image of Israel that is continuously repeating itself.
When you watch TV, when you listen to the radio, or when you read newspapers, you always feel hate message against Israel.
Not all French Jews are in danger, and not all Jews who are leaving France are doing it because of anti-Semitism. Some are leaving because of the bad economy. But 3 out of 4 say they're thinking about leaving, and 95% are worried about anti-Semitism.
Actually, we're concerned now that the government will not be able to set things right to stop the attacks, and that worries me.
French Jews now face a perfect storm, with a war in Gaza, growing numbers of French Muslims, and the growing popularity of the far-right National Front.
Jews are being insulted and threatened, not only by Muslims, but also by members of the far right and by leftists who hate Israel.
This family is looking forward to their new life in Israel without persecution.
We will be able to breathe freely in Israel, and I will be happy to see my children live more freely as Jews there.
French leaders know that when Jews have to leave, it means the nation is sick.
Jews are a litmus test of what's going on. It's not only Jews who will leave the country. It's not only France who will go down the drain. It's not only Europe. It's the entire Western world, including the United States.
Dale Hurd, CBN News, Paris.
Amazing. Isn't it important to see this? This is what happens is that when you know, the news continues to project what's happening in this conflict, you know, Operation Protective Edge, and they keep saying that it's Israel's fault. The Jews there in Israel are not the only ones that are just being attacked or persecuted, but all the Jews all around the world are being attacked.
Yeah.
You know, in Brooklyn, New York, there's a big Jewish community, and they themselves there were concerned for their own lives. But it's happening now. Now you have the Jews in France that are saying, we got to get out of here. This is not good. And the government can do nothing to protect us. Mm-hmm. And Europe is becoming more and more an Islamic, you know, region, if you will, because there's so many of them are migrating there to Europe. In fact, Angela Merkel, who's the Chancellor of Germany, she said several years ago, she said, in 20 years, Germany will be an Islamic, you know, state. It'll be a Muslim-filled country.
Through immigration.
Mm-hmm. And so this is important to recognize that, hey, this is a serious, serious issue. When 74% of French Jews are mulling, should we be leaving? This is a clue. This is a clue. And we have to say, hey, this is not right. This is not good. We had to begin to start having empathy. And one of the reasons they're leaving now is because during the time of Hitler's, you know, diabolical reign and persecution of them, many of them waited too long to leave.
And
when Greg and I were in the Holocaust Museum in Manhattan, we had a chance to see a lot of things. But one of the things that we saw was exactly that the Jews were contemplating leaving their comfort and their convenience, and they didn't want to leave it, and so they just waited and waited. And you often hear on this program that if you wait, you'll be bait.
Right.
You can't wait. You can't wait. You have to move in the season that there is to move. You got to, you know, jump upon it and make that decision. I'm glad those that are thinking about it are doing that, because Israel needs help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's so significant too, when you see that, how the whole, you know, the majority, well, I don't want to say majority, but a lot of the Jewish people in France, they're seeing that just like what the leader said, that continual repetition conversation by the media. And it's just like, when you continue to hear that same perspective against Israel, it's just like you stand up and just say, where's an Israel perspective? Where's an Israel perspective? Where's that light perspective? Yeah. And that is like what that is what our goal is, to, you know, bring that other side. Like, what's Israel's side of this?
Right.
And it gives you that encouragement to just say, okay, I know all this is being shared over and over and over again. But then when you hear that other side and you're like, oh, wow, gives you a little bit more of that encouragement to going on.
Remember that it's JJ, the Saturday people and the Sunday people.
Mm-hmm.
We have right now news telecasts are reporting that several hundred people gathered in front of the White House chanting, Obama, Obama, where are you? Iraqi Christians call for you. And what they're saying, that these demonstrations have been held in a number of cities over the weekend, in Washington, in Paris, in Cologne, in London, in order to bring attention to the current assault on Christians by IS now, not ISIS, IS, the Islamic State, formerly known as ISIS. And they're saying, hey, what's going on? You know, Christians in Iraq are being slaughtered. They're being pushed out of Mosul. They're burning down church buildings, and they want them completely out. They're giving them three choices. The Islamic group, Islamic State, they're saying, listen, you can either convert to Islam, you can either pay a jizya tax, which is servitude, it's like 20-30% of their income, and the third is basically die. We'll cut your head off. So you have one of three choices, which are none of them are good choices, none of them. And so not to convert and not to bow down and not to submit to them means that they're going to pay a heavy, heavy price. And right now, in Sudan, the Christian Post is reporting that during Ramadan, during a time of that Muslims are fasting, a Christian was basically, you know, sentenced to having his lips burned with a cigarette because he was actually eating during Ramadan.
Mm.
And he's not even supposed to be fasting. He's like, this is like, that's a Muslim thing that they're doing.
All right.
But because of that, his lips were burned. His lips were burned.
Wow.
This is the stuff that you're seeing over and over and over again. And not to make light of that, but Christians are being crucified. I mean, you know.
Literally.
Crucified. I mean, the burn part is one thing, but it's another thing to be crucified, literally, like you say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's horrible.
Yeah.
And you can turn a deaf ear. You know, you can try to close your eyes. You can try to be not informed. But God's watching. He's watching what is our response. And whatever we've done or didn't do to the least of these brothers of mine, of his, we haven't done to him. Meaning that if we close our eyes to the persecution of Jews, if we close our eyes to the persecution of Christians, then we're closing the eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
We're not paying any attention to him. We're not empathizing. We're not praying.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not doing anything we can do to stop it.
Yeah, that's huge, because it says, you know, the Bible says specifically in these last days that the love of the body is going to grow cold. And in a recent segment we had, you know, where we shared about leaders that were in discussion in the church talking about what is happening. And they're saying the only reason why your heart would not be softened is if you turn your head away from this. And you've got to see this. You have to embrace this. You have to see this, because just like you're saying, this is going on right now. And Jesus is saying, there I was being crucified, being persecuted, and you did nothing. Or you did something. And by seeing this, it's going to give compassion to you. It's going to minister to you. Or it's going to soften your heart, because these travesties are happening.
Yeah. Well, the good that comes out of this, you know, because no trial is ever wasted in God, is that people become very secure in their faith. They see Jesus perform miracles. They see Jesus rescue them. I mean, they see lions get lockjawed and have no teeth. They see the fourth man in the fire. And God will vindicate them. God will miraculously take them out of prisons like he took Peter out of prisons. Mm-hmm. They will see the supernatural in their life in a greater dimension when they just trust Jesus in the face of it, when they don't shrink back and destroy it. When we get back from this break, we're actually going to talk about what's happening now with Christians, and a symbol that was used for the Jews is being used by Christians in solidarity to remember our brothers and sisters. And we're going to show it to you so that you can have it as well, so we can all stand together mm-hmm. during this season and during this time. And we want to jump right into this. Gary Lane from CBN, he's a reporter, and he put together this article that we want to share with you. It's called Christians Marked for Modern-Day Holocaust. And he writes about how his father, who was a World War II veteran, often told him that history has a strange way of repeating itself, and that 70 years after the Nazis forced the Jews to wear the yellow Star of David, there were these patches that you'll see in you know, historical videos that show you during this time. There were these yellow patches on their clothing, and it was designed to mark them for persecution and extermination. That was why they had to wear these yellow Star of David. Well, the same thing is underway right now. I mean, Christians are being attacked in the Middle East. And particularly right now, we're seeing what's happening in Iraq. We just talked about it more so by the group formerly known as ISIS. They're basically running every Christian out and making them, you know, convert and do all these different things. And so now, as a way to have solidarity, many Christians are taking the same symbol. We have it for you, but it's the yellow Star of David. And they're taking the same symbol and they are putting it on their Facebook. They're sending it out in Twitter. They're hashtagging we are N, the letter N. So hashtag we, the word R and the letter N. And they are as a symbol for what's happening to the Christians in Iraq right now and the persecution. They're saying, hey, we're together. You can mark. You're marking them. You mark us. We're going to stand together with our brothers and sisters. And really, that's what we need to be. The church, the family of God, we need to stand as one body with mm-hmm. one heart, with one soul, with one mind mm-hmm. in unity and say, hey, if they're persecuting my brother, they're persecuting me. If they're persecuting my brother, they're persecuting Jesus and they're persecuting me. I'm going to stand with them even if it costs me something, even if it costs me pain, even if it costs me resources, even if it causes me my respect or reputation or any of those things that people try to fight and hold on to. If it costs me, that doesn't matter. History is going to say of me that during this time of testing, this time of trial, I didn't turn my back on my brothers and sisters that were suffering, but I stood up mm-hmm. in my business. I stood up at my job. I stood up at my school. I stood up in my community. Mm-hmm. I stood up on my sports team, and I did not join in any of those sick jokes and make light or come against the people of God or the issue of God, but I stood out and said, no, I will not participate in that, and I believe that I needed to stand with them. Listen, when we have that type of a backbone, when we have that type of unity in the church, we're going to see so many miracles and see an outpouring of just love and appreciation mm-hmm. for each other. This is what Jesus prayed for in John 17, that the church may be one. Maybe, just maybe, under persecution, this may be the start of that unifying effort that brings us together. And I believe, you know, that God's presence and his love is stronger to bring us together. But if it has to start in persecution, then by all means, let's come together, let's stick, stay, and stand, even when it stinks, and let's wrap our arms around our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted and say, I'm going to pray. Don't let a day go by without praying for them. God can turn this whole situation around, but I believe this is going to be some days of some serious miracles because God is going to vindicate his people. He's going to protect them from all the evil that's taking place right now. Look at Israel as a perfect example. I mean, with every single enemy wrapped around them, Pat, they are still standing strong, standing mm-hmm. blessed, and still the promise to Jacob, the blessing to Jacob is still mm-hmm. happening. He says, you're going to bless the entire world. Lineages mm-hmm. are going to be blessed from you. And Jacob is still mm-hmm. blessing us. So we want to definitely encourage you with that.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.